Well, amen, and he is alive today and ever living to make intercession for us. What a blessing. Proverbs chapter 3 this morning, Proverbs chapter 3, as we continue our study here in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 6 this morning. So if you would, go ahead and stand, and if you're able to, and we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we do bow before you this morning, Lord, again, we thank you for this privilege that we have to assemble ourselves together today and worship you freely. Thank you for each one that's here that has taken advantage of their opportunity to be in church this morning. And I pray, God, for each one that they would just sense your presence and open up their hearts and their minds to receive what you have for them. Pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The book of Proverbs is known as the book of wisdom. It's the book of godly wisdom. Can I tell you, I don't believe there's ever been a time when humanity needed the book of Proverbs more than today. We looked at Proverbs 1:7, where the Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge," truth. Oh, how we need that. But it has to come by way of acknowledging God, reverencing God. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 7, we preach on, "God layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous." And chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Wisdom is the principal thing, is the most important thing. And God layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous." Now, the definition of that wisdom is the knowledge which we gain by a fear of God. Knowledge and the capacity to make use of it. And that knowledge must be acquired. We're not born with that knowledge. And now we look here in Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 1 down to verse 6. In verse 6, the Bible says this, "In all thy ways acknowledge God." Acknowledge him. If we have the true knowledge of who God is, and that's important, because the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. So if we have that true knowledge of who God is, then wisdom will lead us to acknowledge God through worship, praise, and thanksgiving. You'll find that throughout the scriptures. All of these must come from our hearts. Worship, it's more than just assembling ourselves together like that. It's got to come from your heart, your belief in God. And the reason that you're here is because your belief in God. Praise has to come from your heart to be genuine. Thanksgiving has to come from our hearts. We find here in Proverbs chapter 3, the very first verse is, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." More than just following the do's and the don'ts just because you're supposed to, but from your heart. having a love for God, a desire to do what God would have us to do. In verse 3, it says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart." Mercy and truth. Verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine," there it is again, "heart." It's got to come from within us. True knowledge, if we have true knowledge of who God is, wisdom will lead us to acknowledge God from our hearts in worship and praise, thanksgiving. So the question would be to start with, and all of us need to answer this for ourselves, who do we acknowledge God to be? Because not everybody's definition and understanding of God is the same. If you remember, true knowledge comes by way, and we studied this when we looked at the fear of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So this true knowledge comes by way of God's Word, the Scriptures. We can never lose sight of that because it's what God will hold us accountable to. It's what God has preserved for us. And then we have nature itself. As we look around, we see what the creation of God, the intelligent design in all things in nature. And then the soul of man was created in the image and likeness of God. True knowledge comes by these three things. Today, so many ignore these and look to gain their knowledge from worldly wisdom. Their definition of God from worldly wisdom. Matter of fact, over the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, you can write these verses down. Let me read this to you. But in 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, as Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he says in verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross," now sometimes we get focused on preaching, and that is God's plan, God, especially during this New Testament church age, but it's the cross that we want to focus on. It's the understanding of the cross of Calvary. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." Those that don't look back to the cross of Calvary to realize that that was God's plan for salvation. That is God's plan for humanity to know who God is and the love of God and the sacrifice that God made, and that God came and became man to reveal to us the life that God would have us to live on earth. That's Jesus Christ. And so the preaching of the cross, that's what we look to as the cross, is to them that perish. They're not getting their wisdom, their knowledge, their understanding from the cross. They're not getting it from the Scriptures. They're getting it from human wisdom and what they want this to be, but it's to them that perish foolishness, because they didn't look to the cross. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Because that shows us so much. You see, that the cross is what Jesus, what God Almighty established in the very beginning, as soon as man sinned. God devised his plan to send his son to pay a sin debt that we owe and cannot pay. That's what the cross is. He paid your sin debt on Calvary's cross. The whole Old Testament, from the very beginning after the fall of man, the focus would have been on the cross. The focus throughout all the Old Testament is on the cross, the coming of the Messiah. Our focus today, 2,000 years later, needs to still be on the cross. That is the key to all of human history, is the cross. To them that perish, they didn't look to it, they died without it, foolishness, because they're in the devil's hell. But unto us which are saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Man has devised a lot of different ways to live, but none of them are accurate. It's the wisdom of man, the knowledge of man, not focused on the knowledge and the wisdom of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to naught the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise and where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? So when you look away from the scriptures and you look away from the human nature, when you look away from what God has established as nature, rather, and you look away from the soul of mankind to understand certain things, and then you just develop your own religion and your own gods from human wisdom, that's foolishness. For after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom, their own wisdom, knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. But we preach Christ crucified. Going back to the cross. Yeah. Scriptures declare God to be our creator. Human wisdom does not want to go that direction. They want to and are teaching that we evolved. And they'll have some kind of, if they want to believe in some kind of a God, they'll have a generic God that allowed us to evolve. And yet that's not what the Bible teaches. If we're not careful, we'll allow that human wisdom to cause us to have wrong thinking. Because it's not from the Bible. It's not from what God established in nature. It's not from the human soul. Genesis 1:1, the very beginning of the scriptures. In the beginning, God created. That will never change. No matter how man in his own philosophies and his own wisdom want to change that, that is etched in the Bible. That is the very first verse in all the Bible, and that is the foundation for our beliefs. We believe in a creator God who created humanity different from the animals and every other part of, in all other forms of life. We were created in the image and the likeness of God. We can't forget that. Because when you do, then you'll murder the unborn. It's not natural for any creature to kill their offspring. It's not natural. But what's more important than even nature is the Word of God. That God gives life. And human life is different than any other form of life. Human life is created by God in the image and likeness of Him. Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 9 says this, I am God and there is none like me. Isn't that great? That is so truthful. You can do whatever. You're not going to find any God like my God and like me, who I am, because I am the Creator God. The scriptures reveal the attributes of God that tells us that there's none like Him. He is eternal. He is infinite. He is immutable. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He is sovereign. He is holy. He is just. He is love and He is truth. That's what the Bible says. That's the God that we believe in. That's the God that we look to. That's the knowledge that God has given to us of Himself. And with this knowledge, wisdom tells us He must be worshiped for who He is. He must be worshiped. In John chapter 4, Jesus came and he presented this to the disciples and to the world, that there is God the Father, and God the Father is to be worshiped. In John in chapter 4 and verse 23, Jesus says, "But the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers," that means if there's true, distinguished between true worshipers, there are false worshipers. If you are worshiping a God defined by anything other than the scriptures, you are following after a false worship of man's God, man's created God, man's desire for what God their God, what kind of God they want him to be. If you are worshiping the true God, you are worshiping the God of this Bible right here, and you understand who this God is because the Bible reveals to us who he is, his attributes. But the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers, I trust you can put yourself there, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Truth based on the knowledge that comes from God, which begins with the fear. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. He wants people to worship him, humanity to worship him based upon who he is. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must. It's a must. You can't worship God the way you want to worship God. You must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the truth is what God has revealed to us in the scriptures. Wow. It's really not rocket science. It's common sense. And that's why we need the book of Proverbs, because that's what we have lost. It's God's will to worship him the way that God wants us to worship him, which is what Jesus established in this New Testament church age. How do we worship him? According to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians in chapter 16. Now concerning, and this is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Jesus established his church for this church age. He has established the work of the church, the commission of the church. And in the commission of the church, he has established how we are to worship God. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches in Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, and there be no gatherings when I come. The first day of the week, if I want to worship God according to what the scriptures teach, the first day of the week is the Lord's day. The first day of the week is resurrection day. Every Sunday that we assemble ourselves together, we are acknowledging resurrection Sunday. Every time we assemble ourselves on Sunday morning, we want to bring our offerings to acknowledge that we believe in God. And it is a type of worship as we bring our offerings unto the Lord. And we give them not to the church. Be careful that you don't give them to the pastor. You don't pay the staff salary. You give it back to God. Where God has planted you, you bring your offering so that you might, it's a type of worship. And then when we assemble ourselves together, you bring that offering as to, because it's what the Bible says. And then you sing praises. And then you hear the preaching of the cross. which is to the world foolishness. But to all of us that are saved, we look forward to it. It's the power of God. It's what I need. I need to have more of the encouragement to live by the word of God and to know that there is a God that is watching over me, to know that there is a purpose in my life and there's things that he wants me to do and there's things that he's already planned ahead of time for the rest of our lives. Yeah. He needs to be worshiped. Because he is eternal. He is infinite. He is immutable, meaning he doesn't change. He is omnipotent, meaning he has all power. He is omniscient, meaning he has all knowledge. He sees all things. He's omnipresent. He can be everywhere at the same time in the fullness of his power. He is sovereign. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the sovereign king. He's the sovereign Lord. He is holy. Don't lose sight of that. That's part of worship. We have to understand and acknowledge holiness. He is just. There's never a time when God has ever been unjust. He has always been and always will be just. And he is love. Always has, always will. And he is truth. Yeah. Wow. We are to worship him. Every week, we sit at Jesus' feet to worship him and then to go out and represent him to the world. Wow. Yeah, that's worship. Knowledge, wisdom will lead us to worship. If we have the knowledge, that's the beginning of wisdom. That's the understanding of the definition, knowledge and the capacity to make use of it. That's wisdom. You have to have the knowledge. It has to be acquired. And as it is acquired, then the wisdom of God that he lays up for us will tell us to worship him. And then it'll tell us to praise him. The same knowledge will lead us to praise. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 21 says this: "This people have I formed for myself; they shall show forth my praise." God's people, Israel, Old Testament, saints, born again believers, New Testament, God's people, they shall show forth my praise. In order to allow God to be fully God of our lives, we must praise him in all things. Are we doing that? Psalms chapter 9 and verse 1. Let me just read this to you over in the book of Psalms in chapter 9. And the book of Psalms, so much in the Psalms about praise and how important it is. But Psalms in chapter 9 and verse 1, he says this: "I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole," and here it is, "heart." Because if it's not from the heart, it's not genuine praise. "I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high." Wow. Are we praising him today? And then we are to always give thanks to God. The same knowledge and with the same wisdom will lead us to give thanks. Look with me, or write it down, but I want you to mark this down for sure. But 1 Chronicles, the book of 1 Chronicles in chapter 23. I want you to see this. This is so good. 1 Chronicles chapter 23. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 23, for David said, verse 25, for David said, the Lord God of Israel hath given rest unto his people that they may dwell in Jerusalem forever. They've established Jerusalem. It's been established now in the land of Canaan. And also unto the Levites. The Levites are the priestly tribe. God chose the Levites to lead in the worship and the praise and the thanksgiving of Israel. And also the Levites, they shall no more carry the tabernacle nor any vessel for the service thereof. For by the last words of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above, because their office was to wait on the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of the Lord in the courts. Now, the house of the Lord, the temple is built, and they have established this, or the Levites' responsibility. And in the chambers and the purifying of all the holy things and the work of the service of the house of God, both for the showbread and for the fine flour for meat offerings and for the unleavened cakes and for which it is baked in the pan and for that which it is fried and for all the manner of measure and size, and to stand every morning to thank and to praise the Lord, and likewise at evening, every day. The nation of Israel, the children of God, the Levites, the priests, every day were to stand and give thanks every morning. We're not going to start off the day with God's people without first of all acknowledging God and giving him thanks. Then after the day was over, the Levites, God had them to do this. And it's an example for us in the New Testament. As we look back to the believers in the Old Testament, those that are looking to God, the Creator God, and worshiping him and praising him, they were to give thanks every day. And once the day was over, before the priests would go to sleep, they would stand and give thanks to their God. That's what the scriptures reveal to us. How can we not, with that knowledge, not want to give thanks to our God? Now, with that thought, Colossians in chapter 3. Colossians in chapter 3. After the influence of Jesus Christ and establishing New Testament Christianity, and we have the completion of the Word of God, the revelations of the Creator God revealed to us, Colossians 3, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. If you're not thankful, you're not going to have the peace of God in your heart. Let the word of Christ, the teachings of Christ, the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Look right here. Giving thanks to God and the Father by him. How important do you think it is? I tell you, it's vitally important. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5 and verse 18. In 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, in everything, believer, listen to me, this is what God would have you to do. In everything, give thanks. Morning and night, For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. To always give thanks to God. I think that the scriptures very clearly reveal that to be from God. Knowledge. It's what God wants us to do. Wisdom says do it. Wisdom says do it. When we have the knowledge of who God is, it's the wisdom will lead us to worship. It's the wisdom will lead us to praise. It's a wisdom that leads us to give thanks. Can I tell you, possibly the greatest sin of the last days of man living on earth is being unthankful. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm almost done here, so follow. This is key right here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Jesus gave insight into what would happen in the last days before the rapture of the church, for the tribulation period, what leads into the tribulation period. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, know this, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And this is why perilous times are coming. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Lovers of their own selves, that's because they've agreed that's acceptable in their humanistic beliefs and their wisdom of the world. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. But then it says, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, no self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, Christianity, basically, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. With all of those things that are going to take place in the last days, the mentality of humanity, the one that sticks out the most to me, unthankful. That tells me being thankful is a powerful, powerful tool that God wants us to use. It's a heart issue. It really is. To acknowledge God as we ought to acknowledge God, it's a heart issue. You see, I'm supposed to be thankful even in the bad times. I'm supposed to be thankful when I'm suffering, health, persecution, loss. I'm supposed to be thankful. Based on the Word of God and understanding who God is, the creator of humanity, that's the most important time. Think of Job. And in closing here, I'm going to share this with you. God has this in the Bible for all of us to glean and to learn from. In Job, in chapter 1, Job lost his wealth. Very wealthy. And one day he gets up and it's all taken from him. He hears a messenger tell him that you have lost all your wealth. Right after that, another messenger comes and he tells him you've lost your entire family. one right after the other. You've lost 7 sons, 3 daughters, plus all of the other family connected to your 10 children. They're all dead. Chapter 1 and verse 21. Verse 20, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He gave praise and he gave thanks. And all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And then Job, after this, lost his health and was on his possibly most painful deathbed. Chapter 2 and verse 7. So went Satan from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot into his crown. The most pain a body could ever have to go through without dying, because Satan was not allowed to take his life, but he could take him to the very brink of the most pain you could ever imagine. And he took a pot sheared to scrape himself withal and sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity and curse God and die? But he knew God. And he knew God was to be worshipped. God was to be praised. God was to be thanked. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? As Job was scraping boils while sitting on an ash heap, if we could have listened, I think you would have heard this. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and sweet. You would have heard Job singing something similar to that. You ask, that's not in the Bible. How do you know? And my answer to you would be, because he made it through it. He made it through it. The loss of everything he had on planet Earth as far as his wealth, the loss of all of his loved ones, his children, and all the connected, and the most pain that anyone could ever have to imagine. There's only one thing that he could have done to make it through all that: to give thanks. It's the will of God that we should always, no matter what, acknowledge God with our worship, with our praise, and possibly one that we lose sight of: thanksgiving. Are we doing it today? If I could have ever head bowed. With every eye closed, Is it in your heart to worship the God of the Bible? Have you focused on the knowledge of God through the Scriptures? Do we come with the desire to worship Him? Do we come with that same desire to praise Him? And do we come with that same desire to, no matter what we're going through, the most important thing for us to do is to give Him thanks. Give Him thanks. Father, we bow before You now. We love You. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. Thank You for the book of wisdom that tells us in all of our ways, acknowledge You. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.